Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Just 39 minutes after the hour, welcome back. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining us on our First Advantage Hotline, Harrison Wind of DNVR Nuggets. Harrison, man, appreciate it. First time we're getting you on the show, man, but big follower of your stuff. Love what you do, and glad you could make some time for us today, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Brady. Anytime.
All right, so well, we got to get to the big one. The ending of that game last night. Jamal Murray tweets out that it was his fault. I'm going, man, somebody's got to cut to the basket, man. I mean, I know it's never as obvious as it seems, Harrison, but isn't that one of those where it's like, what is going on here?
Oh, you're exactly right. I mean, this was an epic, epic failure. I mean, this is basic basketball. It's a 3-on-1 fast break. 10 times out of 10. This should be a layup or a dunk with the closest defender, you know, not within 20 feet, which is what should have happened here. I commend Jamal Murray for taking the blame. And look, you could say, yeah, if he stops his dribble there, he should probably pull up for three. But, I mean, he even said a post-game while taking the blame, somebody should have cut to the hoop, and it probably should have been Michael Porter Jr. So I commend him for taking the blame, but I don't think he's most at fault there.
Yeah, I'm with you. I kind of gained a little more respect because I think he's trying to take the leadership role, and I do like that. But you're looking at Composito, you're looking at Morris. Okay, they could go, but no, you want your guy on the far opposite side, the guy that's going to dunk it, right? I mean, at the end of the day, nobody's going to have a random shot at blocking it. You want a sure thing, and that was frustrating, my man.
It certainly was, and Jamal said it after the game. He thought Mike was going to cut, and you can even see it on the video. If you slow it down, you can see Murray kind of make eye contact with Michael Porter Jr., so he was definitely expecting it, and I mean, he's the first one down the floor. He's the one who should be cutting to the hoop in that situation for sure.
Yeah, Coach Malone talked about it as well. He didn't pull any punches. Harrison, I like watching Michael Porter. I really do. I think he has so much upside, but it just seems like more often than not, there's just these head-scratching moments where I just wonder about his, you know, the mental side of the game. I mean, that one is an obvious one. Defensively, I think he's gotten a little better, but there's so many obvious glaring holes. It leaves a lot of fans to wonder, is Porter going to get it right? Because physically, he's got the right tools, but what about mentally?
Yes, the big question. And defensively, I think he's really taken some nice steps this season. He still has a long way to go, but particularly over the last week, I feel like he's played some pretty good defensive games, including last night, except for a couple possessions here and there. But for some guys, the mental part of the game takes the longest. And look, he's a guy who's, I think, just crossed like the 82 games played mark, so he's pretty much played just one full season, and it's a long process. So I'm with you. That's probably my biggest worry about him right now, is just from like a basketball IQ standpoint, can he make the plays this season? Because Denver's going to be counting on him, I think, to be on the floor in key moments in playoff games. Is he going to be able to make the top elite basketball IQ plays that Denver's going to need him to? It's one of the big questions with him.
Harrison Wynn joining us from DNVR Nuggets. And I didn't catch it. I heard Murray's postgame. I heard Coach Malone's postgame. Did Michael Porter talk much about that final play?
He did. He said, you know, after reviewing the play, we definitely should have gotten a layup out of it. So he thought he should cut to the rim. But he also said that he was thinking in the back of his head in real time, hey, let's get a three-pointer here, and let's not take the game to overtime. Let's just win it. Mm. So in real time, he was thinking three. And he did say, like, after going back and reviewing it, yeah, I should go in and I should have gotten a dunk out of it. He also said, you know, he's taught on a fast break, if he's the first guy down, to run to the corner. And, like, yeah, that is correct. Like, you are taught in the NBA. If you run down on a fast break, run to the corner, get a corner three. Obviously, those rules are amended in an end-of-game scenario when there's nobody standing under the hoop, and a dunk sends the game to overtime. So I guess he's right and wrong about that.
I guess I'd rather him say that he wanted to win the game rather than just, you know, I didn't know what to, you know, even though that was the wrong thing either way, but I'd rather him at least say, no, I was thinking win, rather than just, I didn't know where I was on the floor.
yeah, exactly. And I mean, look, if the ball was swung to Porter, like, I'm probably living with a corner three, you know, for him. That's not the worst outcome in the world. That's probably like he makes that at least 50% of the time, a wide open corner three. The problem is they got the absolute worst outcome they could have asked for on that possession. Like, I'm taking a Jamal Murray contested three or a Monte Morris contested three over a Fox Camposo three from above the break. And he has shot the ball pretty well from three this year. I think he's at like 37.5%, but he's only really made threes from the corners. He's been terrible on three-pointers, not in the corners. So it was a low percentage shot and really like the worst outcome that Denver could hope for there.
I had to rewind it like six times because I was like, how did they have three on one? What happened there? And then it was exactly what we thought. And that first glimpse, it was just a botched play ultimately. And yeah, if Porter cuts to the basket, we're going to overtime. And who knows, maybe you and I are talking about a win today. Washington's a deceptive team, Harrison. Their record doesn't show it, but they've won, what, six out of their last seven. And they've all been against pretty good teams. Nuggets twice, I think the Celtics, Lakers, Portland's in there. So Washington's kind of that deceptive, sneaky team that's probably going to find themselves in the playoffs if they don't do any big moves before the trade deadline.
Yeah, they've been hot. They've been hot for sure. They beat Portland. They beat the Clippers, played the Lakers pretty tight the other night. But the other side of the coin is, like, they were without Davis Bertans last night, who absolutely lit the Nuggets up in that first meeting last week. But look, they play hard. Russell Westbrook, who was so unimpressive for a lot of that game last night, had some big moments when it counted. And look, it's just another bad loss for Denver. And the Nuggets have a bunch of those this season.
Yeah.
To the Wizards twice, to the Kings three times, to the Hawks. Like, those are all potential fringe or teams that are going to miss out on the playoffs that Denver's lost to.
When do you start having two conversations. When do you start pressing the panic button on this team? Because we all had pretty high expectations, or at least I did. And then the other thing is, when you look around, I know it's not even close to the same thing, but the Rockies just shipped out Nolan Arenado. He was frustrated with the way things were building around him. When does Nikola Jokic look around and wonder about the structure of this team? So two-part question there for you, Harrison.
Oh, with the Jokic part, I don't think that's something people or fans or really anybody has to worry about. He's going to be here for the long haul, I think. So I don't think that's going to be something to really worry about going forward. In terms of pressing the panic button, look, Denver's had a lot of injuries. I know it's an easy excuse, but they really just have. Like, Paul Millsap, Jamichael Green, Gary Harris, PJ Dozier, these guys have all missed a lot of time. I've been hearing P.J. Dozier's close to getting back. And, look, you can make an argument he's Denver's best perimeter defender. And that was another thing last night and has been a theme as of late. Like, the Nuggets' defense has been so inconsistent. They are the worst team at defending in the restricted area this season. Opponents are shooting, like, 70%, which is the highest mark in the league by far, at the rim against the Nuggets because they don't really have a rim protector. But the bigger issue is their guards can't really stop dribble penetration. So I really think the injuries are a big deal. I'm not pressing the panic button yet. I think they need to get to the All-Star break, get healthy, and then see what a fully healthy roster looks like for a week or two after the All-Star break before we get to the trade deadline.
Yeah, I tend to agree. It's been a weird season, and just getting to that All-Star break, maybe recharge. Last one for you, going back to Michael Porter Jr. I know there's always been, you know, everyone wonders, is the chemistry there? Does he work well with Joker? Does he get along with Coach Malone? What's that relationship like, at least from what you've seen, Harrison? And is there anything to lead you to believe that Porter isn't going to be a long-term Nugget?
I think his relationship with Jokic, and I've actually asked Porter about this before, like a couple weeks ago, Jokic has always recognized Michael Porter's talent. He recognizes him as this uber-talented guy. But the thing about Porter is he's always been like this number one option, who always has the ball in his hands, who's always the number one primary scoring option. And look, it's been no secret that him adjusting to being the third or the fourth option when he's on the floor, like, that's tough for him. And I think that's the reason why you see him floating a lot on offense and really not, you know, getting the ball probably as much as he should because he's just not used to playing off the ball. And it's just been a massive adjustment for him. But I think Jokic definitely recognizes his talent. Those two have shown some signs of developing a chemistry. And with Michael Malone, Denver's coach recognizes the talent too. He said so. So I think Denver wants long-term to make this work. They would love to, just based on how much work they put into getting Michael Porter Jr. to this point. They want this to be their core moving forward. I think they're going to really try to ride it out this season and try to get it to work.
Harrison had to kind of talk me off the ledge a little bit after that 3-1 closing play there, man. Harrison, what are you working on for us that we can check out at DNVR Nuggets, man?
Yeah, well, this week, as always, we'll have the post game show live from the DNVR bar. Nuggets are on the road, so we'll all be there breaking out of the game after everyone. You know, next up Sunday in Oklahoma City. So just follow our YouTube page, the DNVR YouTube page on Twitter as well. We'll be breaking it down, the pregame show and the postgame show.
I love it. Love what you guys do. And let's not make this the last time we do this, man. We'd love to have you on more on a regular basis.
Yeah, for sure, Brady. Anytime, man.
All right. Harrison Wind, DNVR Nuggets. Great stuff from him. And all right, he kind of calmed me down a little bit. You know, I wanted to get his take because he can be critical. And I wanted to get his take. I follow his stuff. He's saying, all right, just that's a good point, Colfax. Something I latched on there about Michael Porter Jr. Let's recap that interview coming back. More on the Denver Nuggets. More on a wild Thursday. We're also going to get Kevin Lytle on the Fort Collins from the Fort Collins, Colorado. What did Coach Adazio say about the quarterback position that has me scratching my head? I do it a lot, but it's, you know, I'm scratching it pretty hard. I'm creating a bald spot. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
We have the games. Go to 1310kfk.com to see our preps, college, and pro game schedules. On Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.